that I tried to go back and push open doors that I thought that, you know, these are easy doors for me to open. I can make a lot of money. You know, closed. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Not every door that's why you pay attention. That's why I seen it. I see that tonight. God's going to open doors for you. It's not. Sometimes it is tied to finances, but it's not always tied to finances. He might bring one person into your life that can completely shift everything. God's the shifter. Please understand that. God ultimately is the shifter, but He can bring one person in that can you know help fulfill destiny, help fulfill purpose. Invisible battles. You know, Peter, in the very part of this, I need you to see this, and it's something I've been hearing a lot, and, you know, I've been in meetings with extension pastors, and it was Pastor Aaron the other night, and they had a power conference, and just some of the meetings that are taking place across Kings, and spoke to a doctor this week, and, you know, just some of the things that I'm hearing, and there's the resounding, and, you know, even through our prayer group, Brother Don and I were talking about it the other night. It's like, he's like, you know, we can't let up now. There's no phase of like, okay, we had an election, maybe the guy we wanted won. There's no phase of this that makes sense that we can just, you know, step back and cruise. It doesn't matter whether Democrat or Republicans elected shouldn't determine how aggressive the church is in this hour. And I truly mean aggressive, because I think sometimes it's like, you know, well, we're just going to wait and see what happens. We're going to wait on revival. You guys, listen, there's a shifting. I told Brother Stephen today, I was like, you know, I was talking about transformation. He was talking about, you know, it's like, man, you know, we had quite a few people out the other night, and I was like, you know, my challenge even to him was, you know, how do we get 50 people in here? Because God's about multiplication. You guys understand that? That God wants to multiply things. He wants to multiply the church. He wants to multiply you. That would be upon people. The gift of multiplication. Why would I not want to multiply Stephen? Why would I not want to multiply my wife Miranda? Sister Lisa, Brother Don, Brother John, Angela. What Angela's, both of my, why would we not want to multiply Brother Justin? Why would we not want to multiply? Brother Chris, Brother David, why would Brother Lee Howe? Minister Mara, Minister Lee Howe, why would we not want to multiply what God's doing here? See, it's a Sister Z, why would we not want to multiply the people in this house? Brother Greg, Amanda, my new daughter-in-law. Why would we? That's what we want to do. We want to get as many people to heaven as we can. Amen. Invisible battles. Peter, he was. You can say, well, whether invisible or not invisible, there was one thing that was taking place for Peter. And that was prayer. Now, back to what I was originally going to say, that's the context of what I'm hearing so much about right now, is prayer. It's not a time, and, you know, and we were talking about it. This isn't a time that we pull back or we shrink back and say, well, you know, good things are happening, you know. Good things are happening in my life. Anybody got any good things happening in your life? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Good things are happening in your life, right? Yeah. Hey, you woke up today. Good things are happening in your life. Amen? Yeah. I have a God that I can call upon. I have a Jesus that I can go to. You know, maybe I've got this or got that, but I got somebody that I can go to that I know that will hear me. That's a good life. That's a good life. But Peter, he was in prison. But you know, you'll see. Fighting invisible battles. Please understand something, church. We have to pray. There's an invisible battle that's taking place. Why did we pray for David tonight? I don't know what's ahead for him in England. I don't have a clue. But I see where God will take somebody and plant them to make declarations and declare and win people to Jesus. And then in the spirit, I could see these men. I've always told David, I said, if you go to England, for whatever reason, I feel like there'll be people that come and visit. I don't know what that means. And I don't have a solid word for that or anything, but I can see what God wants to do. You know why I know that's because God's got people here that want to be used by him. There are people here that want to go to nations and preach the gospel. So why would God not open those doors up? That's what God does. But one of the things that was taking place in the visible battle was, Peter didn't know who was praying for him, but people were praying. Please don't underestimate the time that you spend in prayer for people. Don't underestimate that 30 to 40, 45 minutes, 50 minutes that we spend in prayer on 6 a.m. or 8 a.m. I jumped in the 8 a.m. call the other day, and I was just excited. Excited to hear people pray. So understand that invisible matter. I'm not here to preach about prayer tonight, but prayer is that invisible thing. We're praying for things that we can't see. We started praying 3 and 4 years ago over our economy. I started praying 6 or 7 years ago over this city when we moved here. Father, put businesses in here. We stood in a mall parking lot. Father, I pray, put businesses in this mall. You know, that this mall wouldn't be dilapidated. It wouldn't look the way that it looks. And now, I'm not taking credit for everything. It took somebody with money to go make that happen, a lot of money. But I know that there's power in prayer. Just like today. You know what got into my spirit today? God, we need a Sunday morning place to meet. This is your pastor. I felt like the Lord give it to me in November of last year. Move Sunday morning to another location. And it hasn't happened. Now I've went and I've tried to push open some doors, amen. And there's one spot that I very specifically want. It's Middletown Commons. Because I feel like that's where we can get 500-600 people in there. That's what I feel the Lord's saying. You guys understand, it's like that's being birthed in me. And then I carry that vision to you. Why wouldn't God want to fill up a facility with 500 or 600 people? Even what I seen in here tonight, I was like, could you imagine taking this group of people to a little, not even little, to the community building in Mannington? Hello? And inviting 10 or 15, 20 people from Mannington to come into a church service? With already 50 or 60, 70 people from Kings? What would that feel like? See, is it worth the 15 or 20? Yes, amen. So why would God not want to multiply that at bigger levels? See, and I'm saying a lot of this to say that we have to begin to think differently about the harvest. We have to think about, if we're asking the Lord to send us, then where are we being sent to? Where are we being sent to? Prayer is a vital piece of this. It's how we fight. It's how we fight. Things are birthed through prayer. Life situations are covered because of prayer. Amen. Amen. Winning invisible battles. First one was prayer. We need to pray. I'm not spending a lot of time in that, but your patterns in prayer matter. Establish your patterns in prayer. We have corporate prayer. Establish individual prayer times. Do that. Establish times where you meet with the Lord. That's what Pastor Miranda was talking about today. Just having times where you meet with the Lord. If you're so busy that you're not meeting with the Lord, our door's going to open. It's going to be hard to have doors open if you're so busy you don't have time to meet with the Lord. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you, that's pastoring too. Pastors can get very busy. I hate saying that, but somebody will call me up. Or somebody will say, Pastor, I know you're busy. We are busy people. Our culture is very busy. People are busy in general. But I have time to talk to people. You know? That matters to me. That I'm available. Amen? That we remain available. Amen. Praise God. That's an important thing. We remain in prayer. We don't quit. Develop your patterns. You know, guys, listen, I'm going to tell you that even your Thrive points this year, even to revisit back and come around on Thrive, patterns are key to you thriving. Developing consistency in your life and being consistent is the key to thriving. So, you know, I don't ever fail short to say that, you know, man, whatever you're consistent with and whatever you're giving your time to is what you're going to grow in. I mean, if you eat, you know, Big Mac 12 a day, you know, you're going to grow in that way too, right? You know, I jumped on the scales before I came to church and I said, Jesus, what am I doing, Lord? I've given myself, you know, and I'm like, I'm this much heavier now than I was this time last year. And I was like, Lord, you've given me a plan. I don't blame you. I'm not pointing my finger. I'm not going, it's Miranda's fault. She made, you know, she made chicken and roast and we had hot rolls. I'm not blaming her. Amen. So, patterns. Patterns are important. You know, I want to get practical sometimes too. But listen, number two, you have to trust the Lord. Put your trust in God. You to fight invisible battles, you trust Him. You put your full trust in Him. Proverbs, you just take your Bibles, go to Proverbs 3. Yeah, it's Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord. You put your full trust in Him. You put your full trust in Him. See, we don't always see everything that's, you guys understand, you don't always see everything that's happening. Do you know that angels will go to war for you and take care of things before you even get out of bed? Because you've been praying? I mean, I'll never forget the time Miranda was driving the car. She never drove the Honda Road very often. I mean, you did some, but I'll never forget that we come around one turn one time. And because we prayed a lot over driving the Honda Road because we weren't experienced at it. We weren't novice at driving the road. Some 3.5 years later, I thought I got good at it until I jump in with Minister Lee Howe or Akilla and Evangelist Killa, and I ride with them. I'm just like, you guys, or Amanda, you know, she drives the road really good, quick. And, you know, until I get in the car with somebody like that, you know, I'm just like, I thought I knew the road, but you know all the turns, and you're not braking halfway sliding through a turn. But, I you know, God does that. He'll send angelic hosts to cover you. It, just like this story. They're praying for Peter. They're releasing heaven. You can release heaven. You have that power to release heaven. Heaven's armies over your situation. You trust in Him. We were going through that turn, and it's like, the kids in the back, who knows, sleep, something, but Zephan was probably reading a book. He's the only kid I knew that could read the whole Honda Road, too. 55, one lane, what is it? How many turns and bridges? I don't know. Do you guys remember the t-shirt? I don't remember the t-shirt. A bunch, right? 54 one-lane bridges. And Zephan was the only kid I ever known that could read the whole way. I'd be sick, puking. Anyway, yeah, I rode one time in the back. I got sick. Miranda looked at me and says, now you know how it feels. I was like, because I don't get car sick. We come through that turn, and this car's coming, we're coming, all in the same, literally like the same direction. And it was like there had to have been an angel in between both cars because we never touched each other, and it looks like we're going to hit each other head on. And we go through the turn. I don't know if there was any explicits. Do you remember? Probably. Did somebody yell at you? Yeah, because somebody yelled at you when we went through. Which time? See, Miranda, the Lord was with us. Which time was that? I don't know. I just remember the time you were driving. So, I could give you experiences over where angels, I know they're very real. We need to preach about that more and talk about that more. Angels are very real. They're sent to help to protect you. But it was like an angel. You know, and it wasn't a skinny angel. It had to have been a big one because we were that close. There's not that much road. There's not that much much space on the road. It had to been, you know, a skinny angel that stood in between both cars. Like, I think there's bigger angels than skinny angels, right? So, amen. I don't know if that's true, but the Lord laughs at me sometimes. Amen. Trust in the Lord. You know, Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And there's times I don't want to lean on what I think I know. I want to lean on the Word of God. I want to lean on what I know is true. I want to lean on the Word. You know, there's things that you can learn. It's like what Pastor Miranda's been talking about, and I love this because I've ministered around it a lot, even outside of this church this week, to know, to gain knowledge in something, you know, is to know. It's like, you know, it's good to have knowledge, but the application side of God's wisdom is the application, applying knowledge. That once you receive something, you need to do something with it. Don't put it up there on the library shelf and put that to the library book. I'll get to it later. Apply what you learn. When you get something and when you learn something, and when you, I'm trusting the Lord for this. Do what, trust Him. Trust what He says. Amen. Trust Him in His Word. How do you know His Word? Well, you read it. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all the ways you acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Who's going to direct your path? God's going to do it. God's going to direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear. There needs to be a reverential fear of the Lord. Christians, hear me. There needs to be a fear of the Lord. That I once I'm saved and I've given my heart to the Lord, there needs to be, you know, I fear God. I fear by doing this, I'm subjecting myself away from God. That's got to be real in people's lives. Trust God. Fear can be a very healthy thing. It's what brings us back. I shouldn't do this because I fear God. You've got to bring your flesh in. Knowledge. Get the knowledge. Get the wisdom of God. You push that thing back. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. Is this decision that I'm getting ready to make, is it a God decision or is it a flesh my decision? Check with God on those things. And if you're so quick to jump into it, well, it's probably, you know, you understand where I'm going with that. You just give in to your flesh. You don't give in to your flesh. Learn how to fight. These battles, learn how to, these are invisible battles. Learn how to fight. It's not that there's a devil on one side and an angel on the other. It's not that way. The battle's in your mind. The battle's within you. Spirit man, rise up. If I'm having trouble in a certain area, submit your flesh to your spirit. How do you do that? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. Fasting is one way to do that. Not the only way, but fasting. You know, fasting is one way that you can do that. Trust in the Lord. You got to trust in the Lord to fight. If you're in battles, you've got to trust Him. Draw your strength from Him. Lord, I trust You in this. I trust You that, you know, you're going to help me. You know, there's honestly, when you begin to trust God, there's a rest that you can come into. Take your Bibles, go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 1. This is how the NLT, I like this. It says, God's promise of entering His rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. There is a rest that you can come into with God. But please understand, there's a healthy fear in coming into this rest. Beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord, but there's a rest that you can come into. where you're not moved by situations. You're not moved by circumstances. You're not moved by whether somebody sneezes or blows their nose. You can come into a confidence in knowing. Know for yourself first and foremost. You know, because it'll be hard for you to help others if you don't know this for yourself. If you don't know that I can have a confidence in God, I can rest and I can know that I know that I know. That you know, that was one of the words I remember we had one year. I don't remember what it was, but I don't know, it was James 1:22, be ye a doer of my word. It wasn't that. I don't know what it was, but know that you know. What year was that? I don't know. What was it? 2 years ago. Amen. I need to prophesy that again. Praise God. But in his rest, we don't quit. You know, let's go back to Acts chapter 12. Because see, in resting, Peter, what was Peter doing in this story? He was asleep. Now, this is maybe my take on it. I've heard people preach it different ways. Peter wasn't worried about anything. I don't necessarily believe that Peter wasn't, you know, worries not from God, right? Peter's not moved by, he's not moved one way or another, and I sense this by necessarily being in prison. Is he worried? Is he fearful? I mean, there's natural things that people go through, but fear's not a natural thing. When God removes fear, fear is going, it's like a spider. When fear come out of my life, I don't get afraid of spiders. I didn't used to like to be in small places. I didn't used to like to climb ladders. Now I climb a ladder because I'm not afraid. You know what I mean? Like, when fear left me, it left. You know, I push back against fear. You can push back against fear. Miranda doesn't like spiders. She's not fearful of spiders, but she's like, can you get that spider? You know, you're not afraid of spiders. You're not fearful of spiders. No, you just don't like them. You think they're ugly. Amen. So I was just like, can you go get that spider? You know, so, but you push back. Peter, I believe, was in a place of rest. Why? Because he knew Jesus. He knew Jesus. He knew Jesus. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Hebrews 4, there's a rest that you can enter into. Now, I want to touch on this tonight. This is probably my main point tonight. Take your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 4. Because I believe for the body of Christ to understand the battles or the invisible battles that we fight, you have to understand there's one key that's given to you. It's the master key. We've all been given a master key. That's good news. Amen. You've all been given a master key. The Bible even says that we've all been given a measure of faith. We've all been given a measure of faith. Can I tell you something about faith, though? Faith, to grow faith, faith has to be exercised. James 1:22, it says, be ye a doer of my word. How do we fight invisible battles? Well, we remain in faith. You remain in faith. I think about in Genesis, I think it's Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham was sitting out by the tent in the heat of the day, and the two angels of the Lord came pressing. Abraham, he recognized. Can I tell you that you recognize when you recognize God, he recognized the angels of the Lord. He knew God's presence. You can know his presence. What did he do? He didn't just sit there and cruise. Seed just showed up and, you know, good for you. You know, because if he would have never engaged with them, because his heart was torn because of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a great story. You should go back and read that. But, you know, what did Abraham do? He did the very same thing that faith does, and that's what Peter did. Peter got up. He said, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, arise, get up. Get up. Faith is an action. Faith, you've got to position yourself to move in faith. Abraham, how old was him at that point? 99? He was an old man. Huh? No, he wasn't 99 yet. He was 79, I think. He was old, however old. 79's not old, is it? Praise God. He was a young man. He wasn't actually a young man. But what he did was he jumped up and he said, come and eat. He went in and got Sarah. Sarah, go make some food. You know, you go home and say that to your wife. Woman, make some food. I'm having fun now, right? All the women are like, ministerly, how you? Man, I make some food. The angel of the Lord's here. Go prepare some food. And that, you know, that's what she did. He recognized. Guys, that's the thing about open doors, effectual doors, things that are opening up for you. You've got to recognize. If your head's so far buried down in the sand, and that's why the joy of the Lord is my strength. Trust in God. I trust in Him. I know where my help comes from. I know the things that come out of my mouth. There's a whole nother, there's so much in this. I know what comes out. I know my confession. My confession isn't doom and gloom. My confession isn't, had one bad day, going to have another one tomorrow. That's not my confession. My confession is, no, I'm with the Lord. The Lord is with me. I trust in Him. I'm putting my faith and hope in Him. A hope vision. That's where I align myself. Amen. Mark 4:11. See, Jesus said this. He says, the keys of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Do I have that? And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. To you, I've given you the keys. I've given you the knowledge. See, he's given us... I remember one time we were staying at a hotel, and I think it was in D.C. I had this key in my pocket. It was one of those electric keys. That's how they do. They don't have, keys, hard keys anymore, unless you're at a motel, not a hotel, right? A motel might have a keyed entrance, but we were in a hotel one time, and I had a key, and every time I went back to the room, the key wouldn't work. I'd go back down and get a key. Go back down and get a key. I just like three times. And they just give me a key. It's, what's your room? What's your name? It's a hassle, right? You should hate that every time you go to your room. You got to use the bathroom. Whatever. You don't want to have to run all over the place, go up and down the elevator. You just want to go to your room. Three times that happened. And I asked, like, why is this happening? I was like, I don't know. The lady was like, I don't know. And then the guy comes out and he says, hey, is your key next to your phone? I said, yeah, it's right there with my phone. He said, it's magnetizing. Your phone is magnetizing the key, and it's killing the key. I said, oh, wow, thanks a lot. I didn't have the key. I didn't have the right key. So he gave me, they did the key, and I put it in my pocket. Guess where I put it? Right by my cell phone. I go back up for the fourth time. I pull it out. I was like, I just did the same thing again. I'm using it. I'm frustrated again because it's on me. This one's on me. I didn't know before. And I walk back down, and that guy's waiting at the desk. He said, you put it by your phone, didn't you? I said, I sure did. He said, put it in your other pocket. I said, can you give me two? I'll put one in my wallet, and I'll put one. He's like, I'm not supposed to. I've already been through 12 keys, so, go ahead and give me two. So he gave me two. But see, I didn't have the right key to get into the door because, see, that's the thing. We see, faith is the master key. See, that's the thing even in this story. Faith is the master key for you in your life. See, Peter had to do something. He was asleep. The angel come in and he touches the shackle on his hands. He frees his hands. He breaks the shackles free. See, God will do, He'll do that. He'll send an angel. He'll send somebody into your life. He'll send the Holy Ghost. He Himself will come. He'll send a preacher. Amen. I'm thankful. Anybody thankful He sent a preacher? I know I am. He'll send a preacher to preach the gospel, the good news. He'll put some guy up on a stage that sings Holy Ghost songs every Sunday, marches around the church. Come on, get on this Holy Ghost train. I'm like, what's a Holy Ghost train? Holy Ghost train was everybody marching around the church and everybody got in line. And I'm like, well, I don't get it. I'm not going to do that. That looks dumb. After about the third time it went through, I was like, I got to get on the Holy Ghost train. It wasn't, you see, you know what it was? It wasn't about me being a part of the train. It was about God crucifying something in me called pride. Thinking, that looks so foolish. Why are they marching around the church? And I was like, the third time it went around, I'm probably one of three people sitting. You know, at that point, I should have just got up and left. And I was like, you know, I got on the train at the very end, and I'm telling you, I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. Because what it was doing was it was touching something in me. It was burning something out of me. So what did that train do for me? It did a lot for me. Hey, aren't you thankful you have preachers? You have I mean, goodness. Preachers that'll preach the gospel and the truth and pull you and pull you back in line. That's my prayer for this house, my prayer for this city, that God use me. Not just in this house, but in our communities. Amen. I was with my barber 40 minutes the other day. Just going at it. I got a question for you. I got an answer, you know. It's going to be about him. You don't have time. No, I do have time for this. My life is dedicated to him, first and foremost. I know you guys say, well, I got a schedule. Yeah, you keep your schedule at work. You do that. You work hard. You be diligent. You do that stuff. But look for those opportunities. Look for those doors. And you know what? He asked me questions about wisdom. He asked me questions about knowledge and understanding. And what have we been studying about? Like, brother, this is good. You come to the right person. We've been studying this. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2. Mark 4:11, the keys of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables. See, the keys of the kingdom of heaven have been given to us. That's the revelation. Now for you to obtain them and know that master key called faith. You know what Peter did? Peter did something just like Abraham did. You'll find it throughout the Bible. James 1:22, be ye a doer of my word. Do what the word tells you to do. Be active. Faith is an active thing. Amen. It's not, you know, faith without works is dead. You know, we understand that, but you've got to work this thing. You grow faith. You can grow your faith. Amen. You can begin to hear things, and faith comes by what? Hearing. You can begin to hear things you've never heard that will really mess with you. You know what? You know one of the things I love, even I love the word so much, but you know one of the things I realized that graded people in West Virginia so easily was money. Coming back to my home church, I realized one of the things that graded people, and you know the thing about it is our church was like one of the largest giving churches in our district, but giving graded, talking about giving graded the people. It graded the people. And I'm like, Lord, it's your word. See, even tonight, I talk about that. That old spirit around giving, it can rise up. And those are the things in my life that I've learned to check. You know, you check those things. You know, what does God want from me? As a pastor, he wants all. He wants everything that I have. That's what he's requiring of us. It's every piece. Amen. And I'm not trying to point anything out there, but you know, there are certain enemies that you have to be willing to go after. Poverty's one, and I'm not intimidated by poverty. I will go after that devil because it's a devil. It's a devil. It locks people up and it locks people's minds up and people get that's what it is. It's a devil. I'm for people. You know, the Bible talks about giving alms. Do you help poor people? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Go downtown, buy a bunch of food for people. Give food. Yeah, we do that. We don't have any food boxes here now, but I mean, for the longest time, you know, people, you know, if somebody walks through this door, needs gas, needs food, what are we going to do? We're going to take care of those issues. You know, many times I've had people walk in here and say, you know, hey, come right before service, can you help me with this? I said, listen, I'm getting ready to preach. If you give me 35, 40 minutes, I'll take you, I'll fill your tank up, $100 worth of gas, when gas was high. And I'll buy you whatever food you need. Well, I'm going out of town. I need to go now. Then you don't need my help. I'm not being mean. But why should I have to leave this right here, what I'm doing this very minute, to go? You stick around, I'll help you. And see, you know, are we here to help? Yes, we're here to help people. But we also teach people how to help themselves. That's the gospel. I would be missing it if we just, you know, I mean, I've had people come to me, guys, listen, it's the church's job to pay people's rent. It's the church's job to pay people's electric bill. It's the church's, no, it's not. No, it's not. People, have I paid rent for people? Yes. Have I paid electric bills? Yeah. I've given cars away. See, my point in saying this, you're not held by that demon. You can kick that thing out of your mind. And I have. You know how you do? You help people. I don't say these things arrogantly. I don't say I'm prideful, because I know it's very real. I know that thing. I mean, listen, it's at times in my life tried to come back against me. Many times when it does, I plant seed. I put seed in the ground, because that's what I give something to somebody. I give something precious away. There are invisible battles that take place in a person's life. Man, you combat this. You combat this with faith. Faith is absolutely 100% the recipe. You've been given the master key. Man, I could say a lot about faith. I'm going to close here in a few minutes. Minister, go ahead and come to the keyboard. You know, Hebrews 11:1, out of the NLT, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. That's why you never quit believing. You never quit hoping. Do you see yourself going higher? Do you see yourself going higher? Do you see yourself coming up? Do you see yourself overcoming? Do you see yourself winning? That's the thing. You've got to position yourself to see yourself. I'm a winner. I'm a winner because He's alive in me. Amen. I'm made alive. Ephesians 2. We'll talk about it Wednesday night. I'm alive in Him. Made alive. I'm alive in Him. Amen. Made alive. See, this is the thing. This is another battle that, you know, you'll have something happen in faith, break loose in faith because you've been standing. I always have said this, because the people that get saved and get on fire for God when they first get saved, they're generally a lot of times the most radical. They can have different conversions through their life where the fire of God touches them, but many times when people get saved, when they first get saved, they're a firebrand. They're convinced because they experienced the Holy Ghost. They got filled with fresh fire. They got filled with fresh fire. And then somewhere along the line, we try to get sophisticated. Now go back to the fire. Go back to the fire. Go back to where Jesus touched you in that moment. Go back to that place where you were like, oh man, I'm doing this, but I'm messing up. I thought I was going to go pray for this person and then pray for that person, and I never said anything. I felt it, but I didn't, you know. Go back to those moments. Run towards those moments. Run as hard as you can towards them. The Lord told me to pray over somebody and I missed it. Lord, I'm so sorry. I repent. Go back to those moments, because that's where He'll capture your heart. That's where He'll capture your heart. In those moments where you think, oh, I just missed it. I just this, I just that, I just that. That's where God's working with you. That's where God's communicating with you. That's where the Holy Spirit's becoming alive and real. And it's just like, you know, and you know what? You know what happens? It's the fear. It's the fear of the Lord. Ultimately, it's the fear of God inside of you that's just like, you know, if I don't tell somebody, if I don't do this, I don't do that, I might go to hell. Because you don't know, you know what I mean? You don't know, you're thinking, go back to your first love. Go run hard back to, go back to that fire. What you felt a month ago, what you felt 6 years ago, 10 years ago, can I get a drink? We think sometimes just more wisdom, more knowledge. We need God's wisdom, but I tell you, we leave the fire. We leave the fire too quick sometimes. Maybe somebody squelched that fire. You know, maybe, you know. You ever been told you're too bold? You ever been told that you shouldn't tell people about Jesus at work, you know? You shouldn't go into school systems and tell everybody you're a Christian. You shouldn't do this, shouldn't do. And you know, the sad part is a lot of times it's Christians warning Christians. I've never had a problem in school systems with any teachers that were outside of Christ. I've had great conversations with atheists. Because I'm intrigued by how can you not believe in anything? When I wake up every day, I know what He created. I look in the mirror and I'm like, bruh, You created me. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Though that can be a hard thing to say sometimes, right? I put my shirt on. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. I look better, right? You know. He created me. But, you know, you gotta push back. You gotta push back against that noise. Because, I love this story in Acts chapter 12. I've never preached it around this way or anything, but I see what Peter did. I see, you know, his life being thrown in prison, right? It's, you know, he broke through one door. You understand this journey that Peter took wasn't a small journey. He was going through like a dungeon. It was like one door was, I don't know how many feet I've studied this out, but it was not like he was just, not like he walked out that door and he was free. He had to go through steps and through a dungeon. And you know, and here he was like, you know, am I dreaming? What is this? And then when he gets outside, you know, the angel leaves him and he's like, he's outside. He's broke through the prison walls. But see, you know, the master key of faith was given to Peter. Arise and get up. And you know what you talked about this morning, and it was like, gird yourself. Get ready, Peter. Tie your sandals, Peter. I would imagine that meant that he wasn't just kind of like Peter was just going through like this. I think it was like Peter was in a hurry. He tied his sandals. He got ready. You know, gird. He had to gird his put on your cloak or put on your, what was it? Gird your loins. Yeah. So what did he do? He took what Pastor Miranda did today. He took that and he went out. You know what I like about the story? This is so great about the story. Peter. He gets free, and he ends up at Mary's house. And he's knocking on the door. Knocks, knock, knock, knock. And the little girl comes to the door, Rhoda, and says, opens the door. Peter's like, let me in! And she was like, she shuts the door on Peter. It's got to be Peter's ghost. It's got, who, what? Peter's in prison. Knock, 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 knock. Peter? Let me in, woman. You know, I can imagine. You know, let me in. And they let him in. And you know what Peter does? He begins to testify. He begins to share testimony. You think to tie all this together, you think about winning invisible battles, winning at life. You tell people what Jesus has done for you. Don't be ashamed. You know, don't be, well, I'm just going to keep to myself. Quit keeping to yourself. Keeping to yourself, who does that benefit? It might benefit you, but how does that benefit others? Tell people what Jesus has done for you. You think about this. If there were never evangelists sent, you know, you take the woman at the issue, you know, at the, not the issue of blood, but at the well. If she had never encountered Jesus, Jesus prophesied over her. Now, you've had many husbands, and he goes on to tell her life story. She's intrigued. She meets Jesus. She has an encounter with him. And then she does, you know what she does? She goes. Her sin is found out. I'll give you water that you'll never thirst of again, the Bible says. He's giving her something. He gives it to her, and then what does she do? She runs back to her village. You know, you think about Samaria.